see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Amen. Good evening to everyone. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord. For those that were here this morning, for those that were not, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. God is good, and we thank him. We thank him for blessing us to be here tonight. On Sunday nights, the Sunday nights that I'm preaching, I'm going to be attempting to answer some biblical questions, as we worship our great God in heaven. Tonight I actually was going to answer the question why we sing praises to God. I was, but my voice been kind of acting up. I wanted to sing a couple of songs. I say, well, I'm going to save that one to later. And so tonight I want to just dive right into my lesson and answer the question, should Christians fast today? Should Christians fast? I think I've dealt with this before, but I just want to do it in a maybe a little different light. Should Christians fast today? What is fasting? Fasting, the definition would be refraining from eating food. The Bible describes, really, as far as I can see, three main forms of fasting. There may be others, and there may be different degrees, and some of you may differ, but I can identify three in the Bible quickly. The normal fast involves the total absence of food. We have an example of that in Luke chapter 4, verse 2, where the Bible says that Jesus did eat nothing, but afterwards he was hungered. He was hungry afterwards, and he didn't eat food, but he abstained from food, but he was fasting for 40 days, and you know he had to have some water. And so that is one form of fasting the Bible identifies, a normal form. Everybody all right tonight? Don't go to sleep. I'll be an hour. I don't think I can last an hour tonight. The second form of fasting in Acts chapter 9, in verse number 9, we read of an absolute fast. And if you read that verse, some of this is your homework, because I don't have time to read all of the passages. It said, he neither did eat nor drink. Neither ate nor drink. Now, if you Old Testament, if you went to the Old Testament, you see most of the time this type of fast lasted no longer than 3 days. But can you imagine not eating or drinking for 3 days? I can take it down further. Can you imagine one day not eating or drinking? Ezra 10 and 6, Esther 4:16 kind of gives you an idea. These are three-day fast, and this probably was a three-day fast, but it could have been less. But it says he neither ate nor drank. Then there's the partial fast in the Old Testament we see identified in Daniel chapter 10, verse 3. And it seems the emphasis is upon a restricted diet, and it's not complete abstinence of eating, but a restricted diet. Certain foods and items you would not eat and liquids that you would not drink. We know the Hebrew boys were on a fast, as they abstained from eating the foods of those that were in that land, that they were in the land of King Nebuchadnezzar. But to the question, should Christians fast today? Really, there is more teaching in the New Testament on fasting than repentance and confession. On fast, if you just looked at all of the passages that deal with fasting, Jesus taught more on fasting than on baptism, than on the Lord's Supper. He did, if you study it. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20, Matthew 5:20. Listen to what the scripture say as he was teaching, Jesus was teaching. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses or exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. We know from scripture the Pharisees did fast. And Jesus says to us, those of us that are now, he says, unless your righteousness exceed theirs, he says you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. And then he gets into some specifics about fasting. There, shortly after that, the same conversation, the same dissertation he's given in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, it says, whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Now, we're trying to answer this question, should Christians fast today? And you read this passage, you see that Jesus assumes, he says, when you fast, not if you fast. He says, when you fast, you would anoint your head and wash your face. And so, here it seems that Jesus assumes that there will be some fasting amongst believers. Amongst believers. And we know from also from just this text that fasting done the right way is something that's very pleasing to God. Amen. If it's done right.
Amen.
So it's something for us to think, saints, and I know this is the crowd to answer this question in for tonight, because you are dedicated, because you even here tonight. There are a whole lot of folks who, quote unquote, would say they're Christian, they're children of God, but you can talk to you blue. They're not coming to church on Sunday night because they haven't gotten to that point. They may not, maybe for whatever reason. I'm not saying that you necessarily have to be here on Sunday nights to go to heaven. But I tell you what, if we want to grow as Christians, we better use the tools that God has given us. Are we playing games with ourselves? We're playing a game. Well, you know, some of us, we too old. We've been Christian too long. And sometimes you can get stuck in where you are thinking that you are all right with God and that you've grown as much as you need to grow.
Amen.
And somebody raise your hand if you think you've grown as much as you need to grow. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. And so let's move a little further. I know some of you not convinced yet.
Bible it right.
But. When Jesus said this, when he was gone, he said they would fast when he was gone. He said about his disciples, listen to Matthew 9. I want to give you a Bible. Matthew 9:14. Then the disciples of John came to him asking, why do we and the Pharisees fast? The disciples, notice disciples of John and the Pharisees. You remember he says, except you exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. Why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, the attendants of the bridegroom cannot mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them, can they? But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. Amen. Yeah, you got something to fast about. Now, Jesus in the flesh is not with us today. Is he? He's alive. We know Jesus is well and alive today, but he's not with us in the flesh. And I don't know, sometimes I wish, Lord Jesus, you were standing right by me right now. And maybe Jesus was saying that to his disciples. Listen, gonna come a time, you used to me now, you better thank the Lord I'm with you, because I'm not gonna be here always. And you know, it's like in here right now, we don't need to fast while we got all the saints around us, while everybody's strong and encouraging us, you're going to be all right and lifting up and we praying for you. But when you're around heathens 24-7, Lord, I hope I didn't offend nobody, but sometimes, I'm telling you, you get away, some of our brothers, sometimes I got to go on an out-of-town trip, I got to go work over here, and I got to be there for a long time. Lord, you better do something to stay close to God.
Amen.
Amen. Now, fasting It's not a ritual to be imposed on someone. We get that even from this passage. He says, "Why do we fast and your like we fast once a week and your disciples not fasting?" The Bible doesn't command it to be some kind of ritual. Amen. You know, some we get ritualistic. Yeah, well, yeah, you know, I fast 2 times a week and. Yeah, it's not something that you set to say to tell somebody else, yeah, I've been fasting once every week. It's not a ritual. And listen to Colossians chapter 2, verse 20, as Paul writes to the church at Colossae, and be careful that others impose on you what you exactly need to be doing. He said he wrote this to the Colossae church in Colossae 2:20. If you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world. Why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch? You know, in the world now, some people like to prove that they're so holy. I fast twice a week. I pray 5 times a day. I don't eat certain kinds of food. You shouldn't eat this and you shouldn't eat that. And they want to by their so-called physical testimony say that I'm holy because I do this. And you shouldn't do it either. They were doing that in Paul's day. And Paul says, hold up now, you've been baptized into Jesus Christ. Don't you let anybody attach these elementary worldly principles on you thinking it's going to make you closer to God. Amen. Let me read the rest of it. It says, which all refer to things destined to perish with use in accordance with the commandments, notice, and teachings of men.
Amen.
And so don't let nobody try to put a guilt trip on you.
Amen.
But then it says in verse 23, these are matters which have to be sure the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and self-treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence.
Amen.
That's a powerful passage. Yeah, it's a powerful passage because you know, everybody that look holy, not necessarily holy.
Amen.
You know, we pray on the wall 4 times a day. Well, I might be praying 10 times a day and nobody knows about it.
Amen.
Examples of fasting in the early church. Examples of fasting in the early, trying to summarize all of this. Acts chapter 13, verse number 2. Acts 13, 2. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. Then when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. Powerful passage, New Testament passage. They sent them away. Listen to Acts chapter 14, verse 23. Acts 14, 23. When they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. They appointed elders for them in every church. They prayed and fasted. So why do we fast, or why should we fast if we are going to fast? Well, under the Old Testament, we see that when someone died, there was fasting. And I don't have time to read all of these passages. But 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 2, 2 Samuel chapter 1 and verse number 2, when someone died, when Saul, the king Saul died, the whole city fasted. Prayed because the king had died. And in times of war, there was fasting. In times of war, there was fasting. In Israel, in Judges chapter 20, in verse number 6 in the Old Testament, in times of war, there ought to be fasting.
Amen.
Now, we are New Testament times, but you know, in times of war, you don't know what might happen. And see, we fast because we want some divine help. We're fasting because we want God to help us in a situation we may not necessarily be able to help ourselves. When David's son was sick, even to death, King David's son was sick. In 2 Samuel 12, in verse number 16, David fasted. He fasted for the forgiveness of sins. King Ahab fasted in 1 Kings chapter 21. in verse number 27. In the New Testament, we just read some passages that talked about fasting. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus fasted before he was going through a difficult temptation. And Jesus, he went to the wilderness and he knew that he was going to be tested, and he fasted and he prayed to our great God in heaven. So we fast when in difficult times. Ain't nothing wrong with fasting.
Amen.
Yeah, difficult times. You know you're going through something difficult and you don't have all of the answers. You need God's help. Jesus fasted. A great example. We see that in Acts chapter 13, when they were about to be sent out to for service for the Lord, they fasted and they prayed. When Paul and Barnabas were sent out, surely we sent a brother out or sent a team out of brothers and sisters, and they're going out to do a great work. And the church came together with fasting and praying. It was announced, and the whole church fasted and prayed for these brothers that their mission would be accomplished, that God would be with them on their mission. Man, on their mission. And I'm sure it gave not only strength to the church, it gave strength to those brothers. We fasted at the beginning of a work for the Lord, at the beginning of a work for the Lord and serving the Lord. Also Acts 13 and 2. They fasted when they were selecting and appointing elders, appointing leaders in the Lord's church in Acts 14. And that's a serious time in the life of any church. To appoint elders and leaders in the church, because those men will be in place most likely for a long time. They will affect generations and generations. Some churches got good elders, some churches do not. And Lord knows we need God's help.
Amen.
When we're appointing leaders in the Lord's church.
Amen.
Ooh, Lord have mercy. We need to fast a whole year. Well, I don't know how long we need to fast, but Lord have mercy. I know some churches who wish they had a fasted and prayed.
Amen.
Before they laid hands on some men. There's fasting when there is serious illness of a loved one. Serious illness of a loved one. We know that in some situations are more difficult than others. Some situations more. And listen to Matthew chapter 17 and verse 21. Matthew 17:21. The Bible says, "But this kind does not go away except by prayer." And it was this man brought this lunatic boy to the Lord, and the disciples couldn't heal him. And he said, This don't go away except by prayer and fasting. And fasting. So we as individual Christians, we have to see the value in fasting ourselves. And whether we grow to that point, but whether we want to enjoy the benefits of the Lord on a level that we maybe not have experienced before. But I believe as a New Testament Christian today, I believe that my understanding of fasting, as I've studied it more, I have denied myself of some spiritual help that God could have helped me otherwise had I fasted, just from reading the Word of God. Now, I know that I'm not where I need to be, but I believe that we as a church could benefit more when we go through trials, when we have great decisions that need to be made, when there are things that we are trying to do for the Lord, that we would fast and pray about these situations. And I hope that you study it yourself.
Amen.
As you try to live your Christian life.
Amen.
You answer this question for Brother Gail, you saying we should fast every week? You wasn't listening if that's what you heard.
Amen. Amen.
Because I'm not imposing a time, a place, or anybody.
Amen.
To fast in any certain day. But I do believe the Bible teaches that it is a benefit of New Testament Christians. That for the most part, and my observation, we have not taken full advantage of. Maybe there's somebody here tonight who's not a Christian, and you need to be a child of God.
Amen.
You can come to the Lord tonight by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And God is a good God, and he's patient and long-suffering.
Amen.
But God don't wait forever.
Amen.
So if you're here tonight, we sing a song, "Oh, Why Not Tonight." You come by faith, repentance, confession, and baptism in water for the remission.
Amen.
Of your sins. If it's something you want the church to pray about, we'll pray about it.
Amen.
If it's something you need to get right tonight, won't you get it right as we stand and sing the song of invitation?